I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 45, 145. Psalm 145. And I'd like to speak to you this afternoon about confusing hell. Confusing hell. And just before I pray, I would like to read, as you read with me, or I'll read it and you can follow, in Psalm 145, just a few verses. Because actually, our text today isn't Psalm 145, it's in Isaiah. But I feel that the Lord wants to start with this so that we get a full understanding of all he's saying today. So I'd just like to read it before we pray. And it says, Psalm 145, starting at verse 1, it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto me, unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And what really stands out to me is this word great and all. And this scripture that says, Lord, your greatness, O God, is unsearchable. There is no finding out of it from the beginning to the end. There is no knowing it from the top to the bottom. Your greatness, O God, is unsearchable. And it is so vast. His greatness and his goodness is so vast that I believe it is what confuses hell. It breaks up our narrow understanding of God. And when we understand this incredible mercy of God, said so beautifully in Psalm 145, I think that we will begin to hear what it is the Lord wants to speak to us in another place. But that his greatness is unsearchable, his goodness is to all. And it says in verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. I believe in heaven, you and I are going to be abundantly uttering the memory of his great goodness to men. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're going to say this afternoon. Lord, it's such a simple truth. But Lord, I believe we need the Holy Spirit to really hear it. I pray that we need your assistance, O God, into truly receiving what it is that you want to say to us this afternoon. I pray you have your way, Lord. I pray you would send the Holy Spirit upon this word, Lord. Light it up, O God. I just pray for every resistance of the enemy, everything that would prevent your living word from gaining entrance and breaking up the depths, Lord, of what sometimes we resist a word like this. Lord, we don't understand why, but I just pray, oh God, that you would come and have your way, Lord, for your great goodness, oh God, and your mercy that you're offering us today. Let us hear about it, Lord. Let this word not fall to the ground for your glory. And I pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, Psalm 145 is a truth that God wants us to know and understand about him. And I do believe that in understanding the mercy of God and the greatness of God in extending his mercy to us is going to break up places and areas in our fallen humanity that sometimes, strangely enough, we resist the mercy of God and the goodness of God in our lives. And for many reasons, but I believe that God today, in his great mercy, wants to do something deep in this area. And so with that, I'm just going to ask you if you would turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Confusing hell. I hope I'm not confusing you right now. Jumping back and forth. But Isaiah 7. And we're just going to read three verses in Isaiah 7. The rustling of the leaves sounds great. You just, if you got confused from Psalms, you turn right and you go over a few chapters. Isaiah 7, verses 10, starting at verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Now, this king Ahaz, in Isaiah chapter 7, he was a king of Judah that was in a compromised position with God and with the people he was leading. He was a backslidden king, and he was leading his family, his nation, into idolatry. And as a result, he was at war at this time of his life with the king of Syria and the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And he was surrounded by enemies at this point in his life. And yet, if we look in Isaiah 7, verse 1, it tells us that even though he was at war with the king of Israel and the king of Syria, it says, but they could not prevail against him. It says they went up towards Jerusalem, his enemies, to war against it, but could not prevail against it. So picture with me, if you will, the king of Judah, and he's surrounded by his enemies. He's in a backslidden and compromised state with God. He has introduced idolatry into the nation. Now he's fighting enemies. They're surrounding him. And God sends the prophet Isaiah to this king. And God comes to him, and he says through the prophet Isaiah, he says, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. And he says, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And so this word, when Isaiah comes to this king, this compromised king, and he says, ask a sign, that word actually in the Hebrew means a miracle. So the prophet comes to this king and says, God says, ask him for a miracle. Ask him for a miracle. It says, ask the depth or ask the heights. Ask for anything you would like and make it as difficult as you want. Let that request go to the depths, even the depths of your heart. Ask it in the heights, even as big as you can imagine it. There was no limitation put on it. The word came to this king, the Lord God says to you, ask of the Lord thy God. Ask a sign, ask a miracle, ask him for a miracle, because you obviously need one. And he's saying through Isaiah, the Lord is saying to him, I am inviting you to ask me for a miracle. And verse 12, Ahaz says, no, I will not ask. And I will not tempt the Lord. And that I will not ask, that actually translated into English means I will do nothing. And where it says I will not tempt the Lord, that means to test the quality of someone. So Ahaz was actually saying, in my hour of critical need, I won't ask, I'm going to do nothing. And I'm not going to test you, Lord. I'm not going to see the quality of the God that I have. No, I'm not, I will not come. And you would have to say, why in this man's extreme need would he give such a hypocritical rejection to God's gracious offer? And beloved, this happens more than we think. I know a woman who once in her life crisis knew that God was coming to her as a young woman and in her hour of extreme need. And she, at the end of the time, decided, no, I can't come to God yet. I'll come when I'm more put together. I'll come when I, you know, like her pride was saying, you know, I'm so needy now. I'd like to be able to come to him from a position of strength. Well, that is pride. That's almost saying, like, I need to come on more equal terms. And her life never got put more together. And she came 30 years later. And now it was a life full of regret, a life full of choices that she had made that she knew how to deal with that she regrets. And strangely enough, the human heart many times will reject mercy, the mercy of God being extended. And this story that we have of Ahaz here is dealing with a fundamental lie that operates in people who are spiritually hungry in the spiritual life. And the enemy uses this lie that Ahaz's response demonstrates. And the lie is this: I have to be in spiritual victory to ask big. That I have to be in spiritual victory in order to ask for something big. Blessings go to the blessed. The good get the good. And it's almost like he's saying, Lord, I haven't done enough yet for God in order for him to hear me. I haven't done things right. But beloved, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And God can choose to be merciful to anyone at any time. That's his choice. That's how he keeps hell off balance, because he is just and he is kind to whosoever he will. When it says in Psalm 145 that he is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy, when it says the greatness of God is unsearchable, it means just that. That many times we think that if I've done my quota, then I can ask God for something. No, beloved, there is nothing more that plays right into the enemy's hand than that kind of thinking. You and I, when the mercy of God is extended as it is to us through Christ, you and I must never play fast and loose with the mercy of God. We need to keep running to it. We never have to be afraid of too much mercy in our life. The scripture says that by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. When we run to his mercy, it says, and we're willing to deal with truth, he breaks up the strongholds in us. He breaks up that which resists in us. We don't have to say, you know, I can't ask God for really big things right now because I'm not doing so well spiritually. No, God says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than yours. You know, we remember in Ezekiel, the prophet was asked by God, can these bones live? A bunch of backslidden people who had died in the desert, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, oh Lord, only you know. He's saying, Lord, if you choose to be merciful to them, then they will live. And that's it. If you choose to be merciful, they will live. There is no formula to mercy. God is so great. God is so awesome that you and I, especially as believers, don't ever get yourself into the place where you think that right this moment, I can't come to God. Even if I find myself in a dull place spiritually, even if I find myself bored, even if I find myself struggling with something so deep, and I look at the ledger books and I think, I can't come right now. God won't hear me. That's not how it is played. It is the Lord who makes the rules. It is he who comes, and he has come in the face of Jesus Christ, and he's saying, my people, you keep coming to me, and do not forsake your own mercy. You know, there could have been very many reasons why Ahaz was in a backslidden state. And one of the ones, I think, it tells us in chapter 7 of Isaiah, it says in verse 2, It says, and it was told the house of David, that's who Ahaz was the king over, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Ephraim was a brother. Ephraim was somebody who should have been fighting on his side. And it says now, his brother has moved to the has moved his hand against him. His brother is with the enemy now. And the Bible says his heart was moved. And not only that, but everybody that was with him, their heart, like the trees are moved in the wind. And there is something that, you know, it speaks to me many times that there's reasons why Ahaz was backslidden. There is reasons perhaps that he doesn't realize now, but the way life has gone for him is secretly sometimes the way he views God. That he may have known a deep betrayal and pain, and you know what? He's become cynical and untrusting of everybody. And he doesn't realize that really it has seeped even into his view towards God. And the Lord came to him and says, Ahaz, I know what state you're in. You're a compromised man. But I'm coming to you, and I'm asking you to ask deep. Ask for something. Put a voice to the cry in your heart. Put voice to what is happening there. Ask deep. You don't have to be in spiritual victory to ask big. You just have to ask. Keep coming to me. Ask. I hear you. He's saying ask big. You don't realize the depths. You don't realize a screen that you view me through and the way that you view life, but I understand it and I see it. Ask deep. Bring heart ease. And there, you know, you can, there's mercy for you. There's been a rift in your life. There's been a breach. Ephraim, your brother, is now on the other side. It is causing your heart to tremble, and it's causing those around you. There is a deep troubling in your spirit. You try to cover it over, but I see it and I know it, and I want you to ask deep. I'm not asking to say who is wrong and who is right. I am saying, come to my mercy. Come to my mercy. I will bring you heart ease. I will make a way for reconciliation first in your heart. I will bring a forgiveness that you're yearning for, and I will bring a freedom that comes with that. And the Lord says, I want you to know something that it's really hard for you to understand in a compromised situation, but I want you to know how wanted you are of me. And I believe that's why God sent that word to that king, that he was still wanted of God. I believe he was saying, the plan I have for you, Ahaz, is still a plan of victory. That your enemies at this point have not prevailed. And my plan is they will not prevail. And sometimes we don't understand the depth of the mercy that we need. Sometimes we don't realize, because we sit behind our little fortress, and it's only the mercy of God that can break through if we begin to cry out and say, God, move now. I don't want to be anymore in the argument of my mind, who was right and who was wrong. What's this side and what's that side? God, I just know something is not right. My face is headed in a wrong direction. I'm beginning to see it in my actions and hear it in my voice. I'm beginning to feel it in my spirit. And God, I ask now, I ask for your mercy, because when I begin to be like this, I know that I'm starting to judge people on the left and the right, and I know that if I start to judge, I will be judged in the same measure. Oh God, I need your mercy breakthrough. And many times, to our own detriment, we refuse mercy, just like Ahaz did. Is part of it the lie that, you know, we can sometimes feel ashamed that God thinks on us much more than we think on him. because that is true. But then what we mustn't do is take that situation and cover it up with a spiritual answer, with a spiritual veneer. Because when, like Ahaz, he wanted to say, you know, I'm not going to ask of God, when God's saying, ask me of a miracle. And if ever a man needed a miracle at that moment, he did. God's saying, ask me of a miracle. And he goes, no, I won't ask. I won't tempt God. What? Beware, beloved, of hypocrisy. Because hypocrisy like that, that covers over things, is the surest way to separate us from the mercy that God is offering us. Hypocrites can never come to the light or the truth. And if this man would have bent his knee, he had a chance to truly defy hell. He would have been able to say, God, I know I don't deserve it right now. I don't deserve it. But Lord, I thank you that you're offering me mercy. And you and I, when we are in Christ, we live under a canopy of mercy, because Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood, because we are a forgiven people, those that have come to Christ. And we can live under this mercy that is being continually extended to us, that was extended to Ahaz. And sometimes we just have to say, Lord, I never have to get to the point where I think, you know, Lord, I have to get a little bit better before I can ask of you something. I have to change this before I can ask you for the miracle I need. I need to do this and I need to do that. Then I'll go down on my knees. Then I'll pray an unbelievable prayer that you will answer. But beloved, if that was the way it worked, we would get up in private that moment and think, you know, I'm good enough to ask God for something. But no, God confuses hell and astounds hell by his greatness and his mercy. Anytime and forever who he wants to be merciful to, he will. And he has said, in the face of this earth, I'm going to astound people with my mercy, but first and foremost to the household of faith. And you and I must not be kept. We must not. There may be in the recesses of our mind a little still bit of this bargaining thing, a little bit of this, you know, I can't throw myself completely on the mercy of God. And beloved, we are becoming like Ahaz at that moment, forsaking that which we need the most at that moment. When Ahaz gave that answer, you know, I won't ask. And I won't tempt God. How he was so playing into how the devil operates upon religious people. And you know, there is a thing that people think, you know, I think like this. I live like this. I do this, so I can't. God couldn't do this for me. Not in this area. I live like this, so God wouldn't do this for me. God shouldn't do this for me. I want to put to you the answer that Isaiah gave Ahaz. He says, is it a small thing for you to weary a man, to discourage and rob them of faith by keeping yourself away from the mercy of God? But I want to ask you something. Is it a small thing to weary God? When he is offering this kind of miracle where he says, go to the depths and go to the height. Ask me what you will. Ask me what you will. Don't come to me bartering. Don't saying, you know, if I can't ask him for this, not now. I couldn't, shouldn't, wouldn't. Beloved, let that be broken off you and I thinking. For the greatness of God is unsearchable. The greatness of God is unsearchable. He is slow to anger. He is full of compassion. He understands Ahaz and where he was coming from and wanted to move on his behalf. Great was his mercy. And we so play into the enemy's hands if we refuse it. But I know that, beloved, when we have tasted of the mercy of God one time, When we have tasted of that mercy, we have to say, oh God, Lord, I pray that I could walk humbly and keep returning to this mercy seat, that I could come boldly to the mercy seat because Jesus went to the cross. He shed his blood. He gave his life that you and I could partake of the mercy seat. Any and every time we went, and we don't have to be afraid. No, I'm going to start playing fast and loose with sin. No, beloved, when we taste of the true mercy of God, he goes to the depths and he breaks something up in us, a stronghold of sin. And then when we go and live in that mercy of God, we begin extending it to other people. There becomes no untouchables who walk this earth. We begin to understand the depths and the greatness of our God and the mercy that he extends to humans. And we get rid of a judging nature and a judging and critical spirit in us. Because when we've drank of that fountain of this incredible mercy, and we keep drinking, and not just one time, but we keep drinking, I tell you, it breaks up the hypocrisy, it breaks up a critical spirit, it breaks up a judging in us. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And may I remind us of something we know so well, we sing about: his mercy endures forever. Is there mercy in heaven simply because we get to sing about it? We never forget about it, never can forget about it? Is it because Psalm 145 says that we're going to utter forever the greatness of our God and the greatness of his mercy? Beloved, when you and I begin to understand, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to walk this earth being a full partaker of your mercy to me, that it may break up the depths and that I may walk in and with a newness of life on those streets out there, knowing that when I begin to pray for people, that because the Holy Spirit is quickening you and I to pray for people, it's for a purpose, and his mercy can reach to the depths of the hell and the prison and the bondage and the darkness that is out there upon people. Hallelujah. And there will never be a time as his children that we will not live under a canopy of his mercy unless we willingly and deliberately step out from under it. Ahaz couldn't believe, I believe, that God would be that good to him. That God would be that merciful to him. That God's ways were truly so much more higher than the way that frail human minds can operate with people. He could not comprehend, as we can't, that his greatness is unsearchable. No top to it, no bottom of it can be felt. And that he confounds hell by offering mercy when there is no other reason except he is good. Except that he is slow to anger, except that he is full of compassion, except that he is full of mercy. And so what was the end of this story? Well, how does the story of Ahaz finish? When a man who rejects his own mercy, when God comes to a man in extreme need, who needs the mercy of God, and for some reason, I'm sure I haven't even touched of why, the depths of it, of why he would reject such mercy. So what is God's, what happens in this story? What happens next? What follows after the Ahaz story? Well, verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Did God reject David because the leader of it rejected his mercy? Did God say, you know what? I am truly fed up with you people. I am truly fed up and rejected them because he was rejected. What did God do? No, he continued to be an unsearchable, unimaginable, merciful to a people. He says, Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Ahaz, and everybody like Ahaz, will you reject the unsearchable richness and mercy of God? Yes, there'll always be an Ahaz. People will be too proud and too whatever to push away in their time of need, in their walk with God. They will not take it. But God says, no, I will not be a rejector also. I will continue to offer mercy because I'm going to confound hell. Everybody else should run. And, you know, run in a cave, and everybody should be afraid of me now. But I'm going to confuse hell, and I'm going to confound hell by continuing to be great, to be unutterably great to humankind. He says, Ahaz, you can weary me, but therefore the Lord himself, O house of David, shall give you a sign. Therefore a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And I'm going to run rings, God says, around your view of my rules on who I give mercy to or who I don't. I'm going to run circles around who you think should be blessed and who shouldn't be blessed, because I'm still going to work with a people who are going to be restored by my mercy that I will not stop extending. I'm going to raise up a people, and there may be all of Israel that will say, I don't want that. But there's a house of David. There's a remnant. There's a lineage that's going to come forth on this earth that is going to revel in my mercy. Hallelujah. And because God could see the future, he says, I'm going to behold a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And beloved, that is just like you and I. It's a virgin is someone who cannot conceive in the natural. They cannot conceive on their own. They are incapable in themselves to bear life. But I'm going to take a people just like that are going to look like a virgin to me, and they are going to bear something. They're going to bear my son to the world, and they're going to show that mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. Do not push away mercy because you have decided you don't deserve it. Don't push away mercy because you've decided you can't expect it. Don't push away the mercy of God. You can't push it away. He says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And people who are incapable of themselves, he says, I will visit you. And I will visit you with the life of my son. And you will bear him. And your testimony is God is with us. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to be mercy with flesh on. I'm going to go and I'm going to walk among a people who are rejecting the light and for a season will seemingly want darkness. But when I am lifted up and I, mercy, am crucified, when I am lifted up and you see love on a cross with the power to break pride and hypocrisy and a false sense of what God wants and what God expects of you, when it breaks that tainted view of how God should deal and does deal with wayward human hearts. Beloved, God says, I'm going to lift myself up, and he says, I'm going to confuse hell by who I choose to be merciful to. He says, my love is going to be lifted up, and I'm going to be crucified with my arms wide open. I'm going to be crucified with an unprotected heart. I'm going to be crucified so that my people will know that mercy will ever spring from this place of my cross for whosoever will. I'm going to die with an unprotected heart that's going to break the cynicism off my people that plays right into the devil's hands that I don't deserve it. Beloved, we don't deserve it, but we get it. And the devil is forever trying to keep us away from it. Because by mercy and truth, iniquity is broken up in us, broken, purged, and washed away. So today, if you can hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. There's no need to. Don't decide that you don't deserve mercy. That's not your choice. And it's not mine. God just decides with his incredible greatness that is unsearchable. His incredible greatness that is unknowable, unsearchable. And his greatness shows itself by being merciful. Even when we don't deserve it. And I know that as you and I walk this Christian walk, and there are times we will get discouraged with ourselves, discouraged with what we are facing, that we're going to remember mercy endures forever, that I can always go to this kind of mercy that God offers me through Jesus Christ and see a miracle happen. I'll ask him. And beloved, when you feel the lowest, can I say you can test the quality of God? Ask big. Say, God, I am going to ask for the depths of my heart, for things I can't even utter. I'm going to ask for mercy in that place. And then I'm going to ask big that, God, you would touch my family. You would touch those around me. You would touch your church. I'm going to ask big, oh God, because your mercy is equal to it and greater. And I will not be kept from mercy. And beloved, we're going to know more about Jesus' heart when we pray prayers like that. We're going to know more about him. We're going to walk with a new quality in our spirits when we've tasted this kind of mercy that breaks our hypocrisy and our pride many times. And when we keep coming and seeing the miracle that happens when God says, ask me for a miracle, ask me for mercy, ask for a miracle, ask me for mercy, and you will get it. Will you stand with me? All over this place, I believe people here, there are many, you need to ask something big of God. And today he's broken up the lie that you can't ask big. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And today I believe hell is going to be confused because you came in here in a secret place of your heart believing you couldn't ask big for that one thing. You could not ask it. And today you're here and yes, you can. You come to me. And as the musicians begin to play, this altar is open for those that want to pray what seems to you like a very big prayer. But you come and you ask for that very big prayer. God's going to hear you today. The mercy of God is flowing in this place. He will hear that big prayer. Ask a miracle. Ask a miracle today. He's saying, ask for a miracle. I'm going to prove to you how merciful and big I am. You come now. Don't stand in your seat. If God is calling you, if he is speaking to you today, get out of your seat and come. Come to a merciful God. Come and ask him for that big thing that will glorify him and confuse hell. Ask him for that big thing. He will not disappoint us. His mercy is here today. Hallelujah. I have experienced an unusual opposition to this message and word today. There is someone here. God is asking you to support someone and believe them, and you're withdrawing your support. You don't believe that they'll ever change. You don't even want them to change. And God has been asking you that you are to support them in prayer. You are to support them and to believe them. The mercy he gave you, he is asking you to extend it. And you have drawn a circle in your heart and you have said, not this one. No. And I know there are people here that God's asking you to support someone and you don't want to do it. You don't want to extend mercy to them. You don't want to believe God for them. And I know that if you will do that, God will break open the heavens on you. But you must say, Lord, by your mercy. I will say yes to this. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, mercy is not a small thing. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't decide whether we're in or out of the circle of mercy. That's for you to do. And Lord, as it lies within us, we step into it. We say, we ask big, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, with this mercy which goes the deepest place of a human life. As we receive mercy, Lord, grant us the mercy to give it. And I thank you, oh God, that you will break up the depths. You will open the founts of heaven that we could not even contain the blessing if we will obey you in this. And I pray, oh God, for your mercy upon us, to be obedient, to follow you in these things. That, Lord, those that we've even given up on, Lord, you have not given up on. And those, Lord, that we've grown weary or in our heart, Lord, we don't want to see them in the mercy circle. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. Now, Lord, we live under that fountain of mercy, where your blood runs. And Lord, we are a forgiven people with Christ in our heart. Now I pray you do a deep work in us, Lord. You would break the strongholds and the strangholds of the enemy. And allow us, O God, to be a people of mercy. And we thank you, O God, for what you're doing in every open heart in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you're causing us to hear and understand. Lord, we receive your mercy. And in your mercy, we will give mercy. You will teach us this grace, O God. I thank you, a new softness and a new freedom will come into our spirits. That, Lord, you will cause us to support people, to be a supporter of people, even as we have been supported. I thank you, Lord, that as we accept the mercy into our lives and then we give mercy, Lord, something deep, something that confounds hell will ever happen in our midst and in our lives. Lord, we hear you today and we humbly bow and receive, Lord, your mercy and this word that goes with it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. For those who have come here knowing they need the mercy of God for something, we never have to beg God for it. He liberally gives it to us. Be blessed. Rejoice in the goodness, the unsearchable greatness and goodness of our God over you and over me like a canopy. And Jesus died with an unprotected heart. We're going to learn to live with one too. Cynicism broken off and be a merciful people. We'll really stand out with that. God bless you. God keep you. Amen.